1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll begin in verse number 5, so we can kind of do a little bit of a back up, and then we're going to start teaching in verse number 9 and then on down. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are labors together with God. What a statement. For we are labors together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd, boy, help us to understand, dear God, maybe take a couple steps back and take a maybe more of a God view of what's going on, and the importance of the local church and the responsibility of every single generation, Lord. And I pray that we'd keep these things in mind. What we learned tonight, we'd keep in our heart. It would help us in the decisions that we make in our family. It would help us as a nation, dear God, if we'd learn this. It would help us as a church. So, Lord, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, I'm not going to reteach verses 5 through 8, but I want you to understand we're building up to something here. And who then is Paul and who is Apollos? Paul has to kind of call a time out. Sometimes we get so fixated on what's happening right now that we lose the bigger picture. And what Paul is saying here is we're just part of a process that's been going on. This is his generation, time for Paul to serve God and serve his generation by the will of God, but that time has since come and gone. That's been now hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And he laid a foundation there in Corinth, and he said, now I laid the foundation, God used me to that, but somebody else came along afterwards and built on that foundation. And you know, we stopped last year and celebrated the 45th anniversary of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and you know what? In the early 1970s, 1973, 4, 5, a foundation was laid here. And ever since then, different men, and I'm talking about pew and pulpit, different families, different church members have come, and they've added to the construction. They've built something. They brought something. They brought some material in. But you know what? Paul stops and tells them, you know, don't forget the foundation. And by the way, there's people that have built before you, and there's people that will build after you. Now, let me help all of you, because, boy, this is what I'm going to say right now. Is if you don't understand this, then the rest of the message, and I think maybe even the rest of the book. Remember, the problem with Corinth was carnality. And you know what? What is carnality? Carnality, in a nutshell, is selfishness. It's anybody that gets to the point where they're more concerned about themselves than anybody else, or what's happened before them or what will happen after them. You know, the accusation has been laid against the generation that's being referred to as the millennialist is the fact that they are just me-centered. They really don't care who came before them and what price was paid so that they can enjoy what they have now. And they're making decisions not really caring about the next generation, who's going to come after them. But folks, wait a minute. Let me remind you, somebody came before you and paid a price. And somebody's going to have to live with the nation that you leave them. And so when we think of that and are reminded of that, then it causes us to think differently about things. And you know what? There's some things that I might do that would be more beneficial to me at this moment in time. But it's not going to be beneficial to the generation that comes after us. We're watching that in the travesty that we've created in our national debt. And it's almost like, you know, what do we need to borrow right now to do what we want to do now? But wait a minute, who's going to pay for that down the road? Is that ever going to be paid off? And what's going to be the long-term results of our to our country? Now, in order to get us thinking right on this, it's interesting that Paul then, under inspiration of Scripture, brings up two things. I mentioned it already in verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now, he's addressing a church here. He's addressing the church of Corinth. So he's saying, as a church, you are God's husbandry. As a church, ye are God's building. And Paul very much wanted to remind them there was a foundation. There was a beginning. There's the past. There's what you're doing right now. But don't forget, there's a future for somebody that they're going to have to deal with the consequences or receive the blessings of what comes afterwards. So he brings up two examples here. You know, I got to calculating. Brother Gordon, they stayed on out in Montana for a little while to visit their kids and be with them for a little while. Rebecca and Derek. And so I didn't get a chance. I thought I was going to ask him tonight. I walked down and said, oh, they're in Montana. But if my math's right in my head, I think that Brother Gordon farmed for about 55 years. Now, think about that. Just let that soak in, okay? I mean, I didn't say he was thinking about it. He was doing it. For 55 years, he farmed. Now, why would he use that? That's what husbandry means. If you look up that word, it means that ye are God's farm. And you know what? The right kind of a farmer realizes that somebody was a caretaker of that property before they received it. And somebody's going to be a caretaker of that property after they receive it. And again, we're going to talk about this. But he's saying, hey, by the way, you think about those that first came to this country. You think about the virgin forest. You think about, you go down south and you go to the Kentucky area and some of the areas where you've got the more of the rocks and you see those fences and those hedges built of rocks. Where did those rocks come from? Why did those? Because somebody went out there when they first got there and they had to dig out these rocks out of the ground. What are we going to do with them? Why were they doing that? Because they wanted to plant a crop there. And so they literally went out and took those rocks out and they built entire fence rows and hedges out of rocks, every one of them from the labor of somebody pulling something out of the ground so that they could have something. And then, listen, somebody comes in there and farms it now. I hope they never tear down that hedge. I think it's good to have that hedge there. Okay, well, it's broken down a little bit. Let it be broken down a little bit, but let it be a reminder that somebody came before you and pulled the rocks out of this ground that allows you to not have to do that now. And somebody, whatever you do with that property, if you mishandle it, if you mistreat that property, you know, it worries me. You know, I think the more we've got into drugs in our body and chemicals in our soil, I'm not sure what we're thinking. Well, it helps the crop that I'm going to have this fall. Well, what's it doing to the future? Okay, and then think about these things. I think there needs to be responsibility. Okay, somebody took care of that ground, and now it's your turn. Now, are you just going to worry about what it's going to do for you while you're here? Or do you, watch this, do you have remembrance, respect, and appreciation for those who had it before you? And do you give any thought to the person that's be coming after you? Because somebody else is going to farm that land one of these days. And if you mistreat it, you don't handle it right. You want the immediate result and forget the long-term damage. And I know, well, this is a farm we're talking about. We're talking about something a lot more than this. Come on now. This is a spiritual, this is an illustration to allow us to see some spirit. Well, you know what? I know mom and dad lived a certain way, and I know that they lived a holy life, and I know about it. You know what? I don't want to do that. So you lose respect and appreciation for the heritage you were handed, and then you fail to understand what your life is going to do for the children and grandchildren after you. And that's what we see in America today. It's just whatever makes me happy now. I don't care what it costs other people. I don't care if it breaks mom and dad's heart. I don't care if it ruins my children's life. What do I want to do now to make me happy? And that's the America, then, sadly, that we're living in. He said, so he brings up a farm, and then he brings up a building. And he said, hey, you know what? You remember when the foundation was laid, folks? Paul's like, hey, you know, you come to church every day and you enjoy it. First Baptist Church of Corinth here, you're enjoying yourself, but just don't forget that somebody came when there was nothing. And somebody sacrificed and paid a price. You know what? Paul was willing to work. He was bivocational. He's willing to work a job and still minister so that he could lay a foundation. Why? In hopes that the next generation would have a church there and have something they can enjoy. And if we are not careful in the handling of the church, because folks, again, these two things are a picture of the church, okay? Where was the church when it was handed to you? What's the church going to be like when you hand it to somebody else? Everybody's adding something, and everybody's bringing some kind of building materials in. And that's what this thing's all. He said, hey, he said, you take caution, you beware, you better put some thought into what you're doing, because somebody built something that you're enjoying now. But you don't want to just sit here and just enjoy it. You want to build something that the next generation can enjoy. You know, and I thought about, you know, we talk about building. We're talking about farming. You know, we bought that. I tell folks, I wish I would have taken more pictures. I think we couldn't afford a camera back then. Oh, that's it. We didn't have a cell phone back then. And so we couldn't take pictures of anything. Wish we'd have taken a picture of that little fixer-up house that me and Cheryl bought. You know what? But somebody had built something. And you know what? What was built there was built solid. But you know what? Wasn't our job just to take it, enjoy it, throw trash all over the yard, break the windows, tear it up, and then hand it to the next person that's going to have it. I believe something. I believe everything that you are entrusted to in life, you ought to first have a respect and appreciation for the people that made it possible that came before you. And we're going to talk about this a little bit. You know, this is going to be applied in three different areas. I'm going to get ahead of myself. But you know what? There's a reason you ought to know something about your heritage. Okay, you have a family name. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Okay, somebody paid a price and established some things with that name, and then they hand it to you. And by the way, you're going to hand it to somebody. What kind of shape is it going to be in? And by the way, well, it wasn't that great. Well, then make it better. Okay, that's what I'm saying. No matter what you're handed in life, make it better. I mean, if a fire don't burn that place down, you know, I mean, I'm turning 58 this year. I can do the math. You know, I mean, you know, you've heard me go on my little rant about, I own this property, all these property owners. Get off my property. Excuse me, it's not your property. Earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. I'm all for property rights, and I'm just saying this haughtiness that comes with sometimes land ownership, you don't own land, you borrow it for a while. It all belongs to God. And every time somebody wants to go on this is my property, Rand, I want to say, get the deed out. Let's take a look at it. How many other scores of people have stood on that property and said, this is my property? Well, it was for a while, but it's not theirs now. And it's going to be yours for a while. And you know what? What did they do to it? I believe that when we hand that property, whoever gets it after us is going to get a lot better of a place than we got. To me, I believe in caring for the things that you've been given. I believe in improving the things. Now, what are you talking about, preacher? Are you wanting us all remodel our house? Remember, spiritual application here. He's talking to the church. And this church is very precious to Paul. Because it was his blood, sweat, and tears. Okay, some of you young people get a little wonder sometimes why some older people, you're goofing around the church and you're tearing something up. And they're barking at you. Well, excuse me, son, you weren't there when that wall was built. That old guy was probably the one who swung the hammer. And excuse me if he takes a little offense at you just wrestling around knocking holes in things. And we've got a generation that took some, I mean, come on. You think of that World War II generation. You think of that group that came out of the Depression. You think of the you know, everything was valuable to them, and they kept everything, and they didn't waste stuff, and they lived frugally, and they saved up, and they what they built well. And you think about that. They went off to, you know, grew up in the Depression, went off and fought World War II, came back home, built the strongest economy, and then, watch this, great generation. But the biggest mistake they made, that generation made, was, well, we had it tough growing up, and we don't want our kids to have it tough. So by the time their kids grew up, they're growing long hair and, you know, going to Woodstock. You know why? Because they failed to respect and appreciate what the last generation had given so that they could live as spoiled as they were living. Okay? And I don't know if this is getting through or not, but that weighs heavy on the... this isn't just Jerry Ross talk. This is Jerry Ross life. This is my worldview. It's a Bible-based worldview. You know what John the Baptist said when he went into the ministry? He said, who are you? I'm just a voice. He said, but there cometh one after me. You ought to go find that little phrase and underline it and circle it, because there's coming somebody after you too. And it shows up in everything you do. Okay, young man, you go back there and I don't know, some of y'all parents, come on. If you're raising boys, I'm not going to get gross here, but if you're raising boys, will you show them that that seed actually moves? I can't believe, as I travel around the country, I can't believe sometimes in our own building. Son, you got a brain in your head? Time for all the boys to go downstairs so I can get more graphic about this. But why do you train the little boy to raise the seed? Because there cometh one after him. That's why. Excuse me if I don't want to clean up your mess. You go back there and wash your hands afterwards. Please tell me you wash your hands afterwards. You know, and you sit there and you squirt soap and squirt soap and squirt soap, and you use about 10 times more than you have. You know why? Because you don't pay for anything. Then you turn the water on and you stick your hand with all that soap underneath the thing, and it washes 99% of it right down. You say, preacher, what in the world are you doing? I'm trying to get some people to think. Okay? You know, the average kid goes in the bathroom, they leave a mess there, they go to the sink, they waste stuff, they leave a mess everywhere, they miss the trash can, they don't give a rip. You walk in, there's water all over the counter, there's water all over the floor. You know why? Because they live for their stinking little selfish self. And there's never a thought that somebody's going to walk in that bathroom. And by the way, I'm telling you what I do in restaurants. I'm telling you what I do in airports. Okay? I don't walk in a bathroom by the time I come out, it's cleaner than it was. I don't just take those paper towels. And by the way, you don't need that long a paper towel. You know, again, you ain't never paid for anything in your life. That's what your problem is. I begin to sound like Dad. Who left the light on? Did you turn it on yet? Then when you leave the room, turn it off. I'm going, what's the big deal? I found out what the big deal was when my name was on the electric bill. I'm like, girls, come here! You know, hey, your parents are trying to do you a favor, young people. Let the light switch on and turn it off afterwards. But the light ought to be coming on. You know, something as simple as that. You know, the honest truth is, the ladies, God bless these ladies that come in and go above and beyond. We've got a great group that's taking care of this church right now. And I mean this. I don't think it's ever been cleaner than it is right now. I appreciate so much what they're doing. They're going above and beyond. But you know, the honest truth is, in an independent fundamental Baptist church that has a biblical worldview, shouldn't be a whole lot. I mean, I don't understand, somebody sits in a pew. I walk in here between Sunday, I get here early for Sunday night. I walk up and looking down. I stay sometime to the last one, usually leave on Sunday morning. You know what I do? I walk through and look in every pew. I'm on the ground picking up. Somebody just sits there during a sermon and just takes a piece of paper and just breaks it up in little pieces and just, and there's, you know, 5,000 little pieces of. What is wrong with you? Something's not connected right up here. Okay? You know, just walk through life just making messes. I guess somebody else will pick it up. Well, they pay somebody to do that. You need slapped upside the head. You do. Now, let's raise a generation. Let's make them slow down. Let's make them do things right. Say, preacher, what's the big deal about this? Because they'll treat the church the same way. You see, there's a reason that I'm well studied in church history. There's a reason I take the time to learn about Baptist history, because something was handed to us, folks. And some people think it's a joke. It's no big deal to betray our spiritual heritage, but it's a big deal to me. It's a big deal to me. There's folks that have come and into this church, and they came for a while, and you know, I can't even begin to tell you. Names are flashing through my mind, and I probably ought to call the roll. But I'm sick and tired of people come into this church, and they take, and then they tear up. And I'm not talking about just physically, the body of it. I'm talking about the spirit of it. Then they leave in a huff. Excuse me, but there was a price paid for this place long before you showed up. And we're trying to hand something that's better than what we got. I'll tell you, why do we have all this nonsense? Carnality, me, it's all about me. You know, who cares what it does to my church? You know, I'm going to talk to you about three applications on this. We got to be done. But the first one is your family. Okay, like I said a minute ago, the Bible says to use gold, silver, precious stones. I'm not even going to get into that part of it. But he said, man, the material you're using. Well, the Bible says something along the lines, if I can find it in my notes, of a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. You know something more valuable than silver or gold is your family name? Okay. Like I said, well, I wasn't raised in a Christian home, but you know what? You were raised in a home that's handed down some good things to you. You may have not been in a Christian home, but you've been raised in a charactered home. And I don't care if you're raised in a mess. And if that's the name you have, are you going to hand the mess on down? I don't care what kind of shape your name came to. It ought to be better by the time you hand it to your kids. I don't get it. Again, you know what? You coddle them, you defend them, you say anything you want to about them. But I'm sick and tired of a bunch of little spoiled brat Christian school and homeschool kids grow up and have no respect for their mom and dad's heritage, Christian heritage, and what they've tried to hand down to them. And they'll ruin their family's name just because of selfishness and sin and what I want to do. And I'm right and I'm smarter than God and I'm smarter than the Bible. No, you're not. Shame on you. Shame on a generation that's done that. You shouldn't have taken your family's name and run it through the sewer. You should have taken that family's name and built it up to be even better so that when you hand it to your kids, they had something even better than what your parents handed you. What's wrong with a generation? That's not a little thing. That's not a light thing. I've been alive to watch four generations go through this process. You know what I've seen? This craziness is happening. Think about this. It's happening right now all around us. Grandma and grandpa, great-grandma and grandpa was, I mean, they were sinful. They were unchurched. And God performed a miracle and saved them. And they realized, my goodness sakes, we don't have a Christian heritage. We're going to start a Christian heritage. And they hand that off to the second generation. And you know what? A lot of times the second generation does pretty good with it. And we'll improve it a little bit. But even it happened in the days of Joshua. That generation arose that knew not. And you know what? You can blame that generation. You can blame this generation. But you know what? Excuse me. I'm sick and tired of everybody saying, well, it's your fault. No, it isn't. You're responsible. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve my generation by the will of God. And you're supposed to serve your generation by the will of God. Well, you don't know how bad it was. You weren't raised in the 60s and 70s, son. It wasn't exactly a spiritual revival going on in those days either. But there's a group of us, a remnant, that said, I don't care what they're going to do. Go ahead and take a prayer and Bible out of the public school. We'll take our kids out of the public school. How about that? Okay, do whatever you want to, culture. But we're not caving in. We're not giving in because we've got this spiritual heritage. And so you're talking about your own family. You think about it. Well, my mom and dad were druggies and they're all this. Well, you know what? Did you hear Brother Gates on Sunday? Did you hear Brother Gates on Sunday? Now, what's your excuse again? Do something with that name. Make it so by the time your kids get it, they got something they can be proud of. But it's not just our personal family heritage, it's our national heritage. I flew out there, and one of the folks that came out to the meeting there was Brother Chuck Harding. And y'all just heard him just a few weeks ago, you know. Man alive, if there's anything good about hearing Brother Harding, you know what? By the time he gets done, whether he preaches one message or a series of them, you're going to know more about your national heritage. And that. Listen, it's inarguable that our nation was founded on Christian principles. You know what? If they tried to take every mention of God off of all of the monuments in Washington, D.C., they'd have to take a jackhammer to every single one of them. Except the World War II one. They've purposely left off in quotes in our newest one, World War II. Well, you won't find it probably on the Martin Luther one either. But they purposely now are leaving out of the speeches that they are printing on these any mention of God. It's wicked. How dare you? If you're going to use the man's words, don't edit them, because what is wrong with us? But you know what? What happened? Well, there's somebody, you know, patriotism, folks, is an understanding of our Christian principles. It's an understanding of what this country was built on. We've got a bunch of wackos up in Washington, D.C. now, and a bunch of them right up here in our own state house that cares less about our heritage. They want to remake us into a socialistic, communistic country. There's plenty of them out there. They're all failing. Go move into one of them. But why take the greatest national success story of the last 200 years and trash it just because you want to be like somebody else? And so as a nation, listen, young people, you're going to be handed an America. It ought to be better when you hand it off, not worse. Well, preacher, I can't control. You know, may not be able to control all of it, but you know, you ought to be able to control what you can control. And if that's true personally, and that's true of a nation, then it's true of a church. Because this is what the actual interpretation and application of this verse applies to a local New Testament church. Now, if I had a list of everybody that's been in this church, I pastored it now for going into my 15th year. If I had a list of everybody that's sat for amount of time as a member in this church, and I listed their names, and I had everybody go like this or go like this concerning, yes, this church has been better and stronger and more godly because they were part of it, or no, it hasn't been. They've heard it. We're trying to build with gold, silver, and precious, and they keep bringing hay, stubble, and wood. Why don't you use these materials? Why don't you use these? If you know, if you use these materials, you'd have more people. Well, yeah, but those materials are going to burn up on Judgment Day. Excuse me, I'm not worried about more people. I'm worried about something was handed to me. And brother, I'm going to tell you something. You say, preacher, you just seem like you're kind of snarly lately. I'm going to be snarly for a while. I'm sick and tired of people bringing in, you know, we're not going to be able to build a church. A building material does not consist of a wheelbarrow full of manure. Stop wheeling in manure. Yeah, I know. This is the part I really should have wrote out word for word so that I can stay in the ministry. So, is any of this resonating? Are you getting this? I'm trying to get in the hearts of some of you young people. You walk around, you take things for, and I get it. I did the same thing. I mean it. I'm not mad at you. But when I said I did the same thing, there was also a mean old man up here reminding me so that I couldn't long, you know, somebody corrected me on that. You can't help but be born dumb, but it's your choice if you stay dumb. Okay? And that's what we do. She said, well, preacher was all exercised about this. Yeah, I am. Okay? I mean, you know what? First time the pew you're sitting in, the first time it came off the truck and was carried in here, I carried some of them. You understand that? Okay? So when you're scratching up the pew, it bothers me a bit. And it's just, you know, well, these are just pews. I get it. But folks, are you thinking about this? More important than whether or not there's some scratches or dent in a building, what are we doing with the church as far as the spirituality of it? Hey, has this church separation stand been strengthened since you come, or weakened since you've come? What kind of stuff are you bringing in with you? By the way, I'm not talking to new converts here. They're going to come in with what they're going to come in. That's part of it, man. That's, hey, nobody's got a problem there. Okay, it doesn't matter. Yeah, you're not an island. You affect people. These little girls see you. These guys see you. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I know. You've proved it. And I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And that's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to preach like I'm preaching right now. You know, Brother Castle says this from time to time. I stole it from him. Hey, you know, if you can stand my preaching, I can stand your living. But I guess we're going to put up with both. But isn't that silly? What's happened in our nation, generation after generation, is we've compromised just a little. And we've compromised a little. And I'm not talking about the world. The world's going to do what the world's going to do. Bible already told us that's going to wax worse and worse. But what about the church? Okay, it ought to be the pillar of truth. I know it's made up of imperfect people, but it ought to be made up of a bunch of imperfect people trying to be perfect. And come on, young people. Come on now. Get it. Get it. And so think about that. Think about that in everything that you do. Think about that in everything that you say at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Don't come in and hurt the church. Don't come in and weaken the church. Don't come in and flaunt carnality in the church. Because we're going to hand it off to somebody. And by the way, young people, I don't care what the generation before you did or didn't do. You still have a standard of holiness that's taught to you in that Bible. And you stand to it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, my heart's just burdened and broken. The stories are, they're like wildfire going across the country. Good churches that at one time used to stand for right things. And a generation arose, and now they're turning from the old paths. They're turning away from standards and separation and soul winning. They're just becoming worldly and ineffective and wicked. Pray, dear God, that you'd help us to take account the rest of this week. Now, Lord, I know the ravens of hell are waiting outside the door, and most of us, the time we turn our phone on, we'll have forgotten everything that's been said tonight. But please, God, may we get a hold of this. May we take a look at our family, the name we carry. May we realize the decisions we make concerning that name is going to affect our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren if God tarries. The nation we've been handed, we can and should make it a better nation. The church that we've been entrusted to pass on to the next generation, God, help us to build. Help us to build. But help us to build with the right materials. We didn't get down that far, but there's going to be a day when what we've done is tried by fire. And that hay, wood, and stubble stuff's going to get burned up. But the precepts and the principles of the Word of God, more than any other thing in the Bible, the precepts and principles of the Word of God is what's most associated with gold, silver, and precious stones. And if we live according to the Word of God and we are committed to the principles of the Bible and we give our heart to holiness, those things will not be burned up at the judgment seat. So Lord, help us not to just live for today and what's convenient for us, but help us, Lord, to take a look at those that have gone before. And God, please help us take a look at those that are coming after. Pray these things in Jesus' name.